Let's open the Word of God together this morning in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John 6. My text this morning is verse 44 of this chapter. We'll begin our reading at verse 26 and read through verse 51. The Word of God at John 6, verse 26. The immediate context here, of course, is the great miracle of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Incredible. A day after, he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. "What sign showest thou that we may see and believe?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. There ends our reading of the Word of God this morning. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of the Holy Scripture. I direct your attention to Jesus' word in John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whenever the Word of God is preached, there are some who do not come to the Lord Jesus who is preached in the Word. This was true in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was true in the passage in which our text is found. In this passage, Jesus had been preaching the gospel of God's grace, the gospel that centers in himself as the bread of life, the Son of God, come down from heaven for the salvation of lost sinners. The result of that preaching of the Lord Jesus is contained in verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus himself analyzes the response of the people in verse 43 as murmuring. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. That's not a believing response to the preaching of the gospel. That's not a reception of the gospel and of Jesus Christ preached in the gospel, but that indicates rejection of the gospel. They murmured at Jesus' preaching, and they murmured especially at Jesus' word that he was the bread of life. That many did not come to him did not indicate to Jesus a failure of the Word of God that he preached. As though his preaching only accomplished in part what he and God his Father intended by that preaching. It did not indicate that his will that men come to him was frustrated, and that his effort in preaching to get them to come to him was a failure. Jesus explains why it is that they did not come to him in our text. That's how our text must be understood. The explanation of their not coming to him was first, that no man is able of himself to come unto me. And in the second place, that the Father of Jesus Christ did not draw them to Jesus. By implication, these words of Jesus are the explanation why some do come to him. They are the explanation for our coming to him and the coming of our sons and our daughters and the other members of the congregation. The explanation is not something in us or some ability in them, but this is the explanation that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has drawn us unto him. I call your attention this morning to Jesus' teaching of total depravity. Jesus' teaching of total depravity. Let's look at three things together. First of all, man's spiritual inability. Man's spiritual inability. Secondly, God's efficacious drawing. God's efficacious drawing. And third, believers' certain assurance. Believers' certain assurance. The coming to Jesus that the Lord speaks of in the text is a spiritual coming. The Lord is describing a spiritual activity. The reality of this spiritual activity is faith. Faith is coming to Jesus. Believing on Jesus is the coming that Jesus speaks of in the text. We may read the text that way, and we do no injustice to the Word of God. No man can believe on me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That coming to Jesus is believing on him is plain from the entire context of our text. That's plain from verse 35, for example. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There Jesus puts coming to him and believing on him side by side. They are essentially the same activity. That's also plain from what we read in verses 64 and 65. We didn't read them when we read the passage earlier, but call attention to them now, verses 64 and 65. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. There Jesus puts their not believing on him with their not coming to him. faith. That's what Jesus is talking about in the text. By faith, we come to the Lord Jesus. What is this? Jesus makes plain what this is in the passage. It is, first of all, believing in Jesus as the Christ of God, the one whom God has sent into the world to do God's work for the glory of God. Jesus refers to himself and his great work of salvation in the text. He says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me." He is sent of God into the world. He is God's Christ and God's Savior. That indicates how necessary it is for us to come to Jesus. This is no mere private person, this one to whom we must come, but this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the Christ of God. In the second place, faith in Christ is, besides believing him to be the Christ of God, believing him to be the eternal Son of God. Jesus points that out as well in the text when he calls God his Father. He says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me." God is the Father of Jesus. He is the Father of Jesus in an altogether unique sense of the word. He is the Father of Jesus in a sense other than he is our Heavenly Father. And because he is, Jesus is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. That's what Jesus has preached about himself in the context. He has preached himself as the bread of life come down from heaven. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." He's come down from God, from heaven. He had preached himself to the people as the Son of God, the one on whom they must believe for life everlasting. And their response had been, "Is not this the son of Joseph and of Mary?" The Jews rejected Jesus as the Son of God. They did not come to him as the eternal Son of God, one with God his Father, God of God. This was the reason they refused to come to Jesus. And this is the reason why many today do not come to Jesus. They reject Jesus as the Son of God in our flesh. They reject Jesus as very God himself, the second person of the ever-blessed Trinity in our flesh. And rejecting Jesus as the eternal Son of God, they refuse to come to him. In the third place, coming to Jesus is trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, for life everlasting. The Lord makes that plain, that this is part of coming to him, by the fact that this entire passage is a passage in which he presents himself as the bread of life. The bread of life come down from heaven to give life unto the world. The occasion of this passage, you will recall, is the feeding of the 5,000. That miracle was a sign. It was a sign of the truth that Jesus is the bread of life, the one who feeds and nourishes our souls unto life everlasting, the one who gives us spiritual life, the one who gives us salvation. For salvation, we must come to Jesus. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart from coming to Jesus, there is no salvation, no possibility whatsoever of salvation. But no man can. You cannot come to Jesus. I cannot come to Jesus. Our children cannot come to Jesus. We are not able in ourselves to come. It is not only the case that no man does come to Jesus, true as that is, but no man can come, is able to come, has the ability to come. And since we saw that coming to Jesus is believing on Him and trusting in Him, no man is able to believe on Jesus. No man of himself puts his trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation now and salvation eternally. No man. Here, the Lord Jesus exposes as false, as heresy, the teaching that is so popular in our day, that every human being has his own free will, that he or she is able to exercise, therefore able to come to Jesus and able to believe on Jesus. That's not true. Jesus could be no plainer than he is in the text. No man can come to me. No man. The inability that Jesus speaks of in the text is a spiritual inability. Just as coming to Jesus is a spiritual coming to Him, that is believing on Him, the inability of human beings to come to Jesus is also a spiritual matter and spiritual inability. No man can open up his heart to let Jesus in. No man has a free will that he can exercise to choose the Lord Jesus and the salvation that is in Jesus. Our minds are darkened and foolish. Our wills are hardened in sin. We're slaves of Satan. Our hearts are stony, are hard, and rebellious. Many natural things we are able to do, although even those natural things that we do are due to the strength that God gives us. But when it comes to any spiritual good, we are unable, completely unable. We cannot come to Jesus. We cannot believe on Jesus. We cannot know Him as the eternal Son of God, and we cannot put our trust in Him for salvation, for righteousness, for the forgiveness of our sins. All that we are able to do when Jesus Christ is preached to us in the gospel is what the vast majority did when Jesus preached the gospel to them in John 6. All that we are able to do in and of ourselves when Christ is preached to us is to reject Him, to turn away from Him, to despise Him, to harden our hearts in rebellion against Him. In a very clear way, the Lord Jesus teaches in the passage the sinfulness that we call total depravity. Total depravity. That comes out when Jesus says, "No man." To put it positively, all men are unable to come to me. He teaches the sinfulness of all men entirely. That too belongs to the total of total depravity. Not only is man sinful in his deeds, not only is man sinful in his actions, his outward behavior, not only is he sinful in those things that others can see, but he's sinful within. All of us are sinful within. All of us are unable. That speaks to our very nature. We are unable because our nature itself, heart, mind, will, emotions, are fallen in sin. This is true of all men, and it is true of all men always. Certainly it is true that if no man can come to Jesus, no man whatsoever, no man at any time, this can only mean that man is born sinful and depraved. If no man can ever come to Jesus, from the moment we take our first breath, before that, the moment of our conception, when we are a person, no man, no human being can ever come, because every human being is sinful and depraved from the moment of their beginning. The explanation for this spiritual inability of all men is, of course, the fall into sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. God did not create us this way, but God created us good. God created us upright. God created us in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. The explanation for it, that we are unable to come to Jesus, is that we're fallen in Father Adam, sinful on account of original sin, sinful in Adam's sin. And because we are sinful with Adam's sin, we partake of the judgment of God upon Adam's sin. What was that judgment? The day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will die. I will kill you, as the just judgment that you deserve for disobeying my word. And that's what happened. It wasn't only that Adam became subject to physical death, a physical death that would work itself out over time, in which gradually and painfully we are pulled down at last into the grave. But that death was also the spiritual death that God visited upon every human being. The loss of man's spiritual life and the ability that he had in Adam, the ability that Adam had to worship God and to obey God. We are totally depraved. To oppose this teaching of total depravity, to insist on it, that it lies in the ability of every man, every human being has the power to believe in Jesus and to come to Jesus, is to contradict the clear teaching of Jesus in John 6, verse 44. In light of this clear teaching that no man can come to Jesus, it is a wonder that some do come. No man can come to me, says Jesus, but adds, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Except the Father draw him. This drawing of the Father of Jesus is the almighty and sovereign work of God in the heart and mind and will of the fallen sinner that causes that sinner irresistibly to believe on Jesus, to put his trust in Jesus with a true and a living faith. The word draw in the text, except the Father draw them, is a very striking word, a forceful word. That word speaks of the exercise upon someone of a superior force. And that superior force causes the one upon whom that force operates to do his will and his bidding. A superior force that he himself is unable to resist, so that that superior force brings him where he desires that he be brought. It is a word that is used in the New Testament of fishermen. Several of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. They fished with nets. And you read frequently in the gospel accounts of their drawing their nets. That refers to those fishermen taking their nets back into the boat and with their superior force taking all the fish that are caught in that net into the boat, in spite of the fact that those fish don't want to be in the boat, they want to be free in the Sea of Galilee swimming around. That's the word that Jesus uses in the text. Now, that doesn't imply, we mustn't suppose that Jesus teaches that God drags men and women into heaven, that he takes us by the scruff of the neck all the while we're kicking and screaming, and makes us, in spite of ourselves, to go where he wants us to go. That's not how God saves sinners. The Father draws sinners to Jesus Christ. And that means that irresistibly, he works in them so that they willingly come to Jesus. That's the wonder work of God's drawing of sinners. Before God draws the sinner to Jesus Christ, the sinner is unable and unwilling to come to Jesus Christ. The result of the Father's drawing is that the sinner now comes willingly, comes joyfully to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That the Father draws the sinner to Jesus Christ indicates that the coming of the sinner to Jesus Christ is clearly not a matter of his, the sinner's, cooperation with God. That's clearly not the case. The sinner's coming to Jesus isn't to be ascribed in part to God's drawing, but also in part to the sinner himself. The sinner's coming to Jesus Christ plainly is the work of God, the sovereign work of God, exclusively the work of God. He draws and we come. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." The work of God is our believing on Jesus. We believe on him as the fruit of the work of God. This drawing of God of us to Jesus Christ is an irresistible and an efficacious drawing. God doesn't give the sinner the ability to come to Jesus and then wait for the sinner to make his decision. Will he come? Yes or no? Not that. But God draws us in such a way that the fruit of his drawing invariably and inevitably is that we come to Jesus. We are actually drawn. The sinner who before was unable to come to Jesus now comes, must come, does come to Jesus. The Father does not draw us in such a way that we come resenting all the while the fact that He has drawn us. But He draws us in such a way that our coming is a willing, a conscious activity on our part. God works in us in such a way that nothing, not our fallen Adam nature, not the wicked world, not the devil himself, can prevent our coming to Jesus. When the Father draws, we come. How God draws men is taught in verse 45, the verse that immediately follows our text. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. It's the Word of God, the Word as written in the prophets, that is, in the sacred Scripture, the preaching and teaching of that prophetic Word that God uses in order to draw us. And in that, we have a certain assurance. Because the believer's certain assurance is not based upon himself, but on God's drawing of him, he is motivated to teach and to defend this truth for the sake of his own assurance. Oh, we ought to be motivated to defend the truth of God's sovereign, irresistible grace, because it is the truth. We ought to defend the truth of man's total inability, his total depravity, because this is the truth as revealed in sacred Scripture. God's truth, the truth of Scripture for its own sake, is something we must defend, stand for, be willing to suffer on account of, even to die. But besides this, this is a truth that glorifies God and describes all the glory for the salvation of sinners to God. And that's where the glory ought to be. Not only does God send Jesus Christ to us, but he brings us to Jesus Christ. Not only is salvation God's gift, but the faith by which we receive that salvation is God's gift. All of salvation is the gift and work of God, and for it, every aspect of it, God alone receives the glory. That's the seriousness of denying this truth. By exalting man, God is debased. By ascribing the work of salvation in any part or to any degree, even if it's only man's free will, not that he does anything, but only that he desires salvation, we are cutting the legs out from under the truth that for the salvation of sinners, God alone is to be glorified solely Deo gloria. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But this is also a reassuring word this morning, an assuring truth to us who have come to Jesus. There's no assurance in that other doctrine. For you see, if my ability and my free will are the explanation for my coming to Jesus, I may very well exercise my free will and take myself away from Jesus, lose the salvation that is in Jesus. But there's comfort, great comfort in this truth, that all of our salvation is dependent upon God and Christ, their drawing of us. And then the assurance is, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone who comes to Jesus, everyone who is drawn by Jesus to God the Father, will be raised up at the last day. So you see, the truth of the total depravity of the sinner exalts the truth of God's sovereign preservation of the saints. That is our assurance. We believe that. We live in the hope of that. And we do, because we know that our coming to Jesus in the first place was due to his drawing of us. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, be glorified in the word that was preached this morning, and bind that word to the hearts of the people of God by the work of thy Holy Spirit. Give us the blessed assurance that since thou dost draw us, no man can take us from Jesus Christ, from the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Give us the assurance that Christ will raise us up in the last day. Amen.